My first guest today is singer-songwriter David Berkley of Santa Fe. And later in the hour, we'll have Speaking of the Arts, tips about what to do this weekend and in the coming week for your cultural gratification. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
When I first heard you sing, I'm a latecomer to the David Berkley fan club. When I first heard you sing, it was on your website. So I pulled up your website, and a song automatically starts playing. It's a song from your latest album, The Fire in My Head, called The Well. And when I read the story online about how that album got made and sort of how you came to be in Santa Fe, I just found it a really interesting story from an artistic perspective. And so I wonder if you'd share that with our listeners.
Sure. Well, we came to Santa Fe from California because my wife got a job teaching at St. John's. So that's the simple answer. I've been following her for her career for a long time. Luckily, as a musician, I can be based anywhere. But when we arrived with our two young sons, I was pretty overwhelmed by the landscape here and the light and the lack of moisture and the color scheme. And it was very different from coming from the Bay Area, where everything was foggy and green and wet. And so I found myself writing a lot of songs that kind of showed that new palette, and had a new album fairly quickly after arriving. And I ran into John O'Manson, who's an old musician in town and kind of the godfather of the Santa Fe scene in some sense, at a playground actually with our little kids. And it was funny, neither of us mentioned that we were musicians until after we made plans to see each other again, and we both kind of realized that we actually were in the same line of work. At the time in the playground, we were just talking about kids and this and that. But after meeting him, we decided to record a record. Maybe it was a month after we had arrived here. So very, very soon after. And we did the recording really quickly. It was unlike my other records where I've spent a lot of time on it. This one sort of just popped out. And I think maybe I thank the Santa Fe aesthetic and vibe a lot for that, because in some ways this place is just so conducive to making art, and so the record came really quickly. It's not exactly a live record in that it wasn't recorded in front of a live audience, but there's very little overdubbing and very little heavy-handed mixing.
And Jono basically said, come on over to my studio and we'll do this.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, that was part of the story.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot that part. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit of that, and it was a little bit of my banjo and guitarist, these two guys that I play with a lot, wanted to come out for a visit to see where I was living. And they sort of said, well, while we're here, why don't we record as well? And so Jono said, sure, let's, you know, come by. We'll do it. So we only had a couple of days because that was the longest that they could visit for.
Yeah, sometimes the best things in artistic production come out of those sort of spontaneous, we're just going to do it, we're not going to plan it for 6 months, we're not going to engineer it and over-engineer it, we're just going to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with music, it's hard to not try to make everything so perfect, and yet often the best performances are the ones that have an emotion and an intensity that you can't really preserve if you keep twittering with it and fussing with it. You kind of flatten it, I think, if you do too much. So,
well, we should. Our listeners have probably figured this out by now, but we're recording this part of the show for today in the KSFR studios. So David can play for us. So will you play us a song from Fire in My Head?
Yeah, I would love to. Well, let's play the title track. So it's called The Fire in My Head. And we just found out that this song was nominated for a New Mexico Music Award for a video that was produced by a friend of mine using these animated puppets he made. So you can picture that maybe while I play. There's a fire in my head tonight. There's a fire in my head. Well, you went to the desert, walked across the valley. You went looking for something, find who you could be. Yeah, when you went away, everything changed. Now I'm out here in the fields, praying for rain. So
Well, I went up to the rooftop, I went down to the alley, I went looking for something or someone to save me. Yeah, once I looked, I couldn't look away. Now I'm out here in the streets praying for rain. 'Cause there's a fire in my head tonight. There's a fire in my head. And oh, there's no rain tonight. No rain inside tonight. There's no rain tonight. There's no rain. There's no rain. There's no rain. There's no rain. I open the windows, hoping the breeze blows. Birds going crazy, I'm wondering how they know. And I'm tearing out the pages once again. I'm out under the sky praying for rain. 'Cause there's a fire in my head tonight. There's a fire in my veins, a fire burning in my head. There's a fire in my, oh, the fire in my head tonight. There's a fire in my head. There's a fire in my head. There's a fire in my head. In my head.
Lovely. Thanks so much. It's always so nice to be played to a single-person audience. At least it feels like it with the two of us sitting here in this room, although we've got all those listeners out there. That could almost be a summer ballad for Santa Fe.
Hopefully not if the fires come. But
yeah. We hope not for this summer. That line about no rain in sight is what kind of got to me. You have another album, a previous album that I want to talk about. But before we do that, let's make sure that people know that you're performing this weekend. Tell us about that.
Yes, tomorrow night, Saturday the 19th at the High Mayhem Emerging Arts Center. I don't know what it's called. High Mayhem on Siler Lane. And it's presented by the Santa Fe Performance Exchange, which is a great organization that presents a lot of great concerts in town. And I'll have my full band here with me, which is very rare. I play solo sometimes. I play with just a couple other people sometimes. But we're about to record a new record, actually, at Jono's studio up in Chupadero. So I'm bringing my guys in from New York and Los Angeles and Atlanta. And so this show, in some ways, is like a recording kickoff concert. We'll be playing some of the songs that we'll be recording and some older stuff. So the show is at 8 p.m. at High Mayhem tomorrow night. There are student tickets available. It's BYOB, which is great because you don't have to buy drinks. You can bring them, whatever you like to drink. So, yeah.
So how many people are in your band when the full cohort is there?
Well, this will be a trumpet and banjo player. That's one guy who plays both instruments. This amazing guitarist, an upright bassist, and then a percussionist who's actually originally from Switzerland.
Fun.
So. Yeah, it keeps good time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, in listening to this album, The Fire in My Head, and your previous album, Some Kind of Cure, one of the things I was struck with was that I couldn't quite box your style. I couldn't quite put a name to it because there were some pieces that sounded sort of R&B, and the banjo lent this sort of bluegrass feel to some others, and then there was this trumpet, And so how do you characterize your music?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like to layer my arrangements with different sort of subtle subtle voices. I don't think anything is very heavy-handed, but I like playing with different textures and having different elements come in. I call it sort of indie folk. I think it's more folk than anything. You know, I'm definitely a songwriter, singer-songwriter, but yeah, there's certainly elements of rock. And you know, initially on my first records, they were very acoustic, and I used a mandolin a lot, and so that maybe had a little bit more bluegrass in it. But yeah, sort of layered folk, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. For listeners who may have just joined us, I'm talking with David Berkeley, a singer-songwriter who lives here in Santa Fe and has a performance tomorrow night. The previous album that you did, you've got this new album in the works, and you're going to sort of reproduce the same concept that you did with Some Kind of Cure, where you created a book of essays, and then the songs on the album relate to those essays. Where'd you get that idea? It's very unusual.
Yeah, I don't know that other people have done it. But so I was living for a year on the island of Corsica with my wife, and then we only had one son. My wife's an anthropologist. Well, she was. Now she teaches at St. John, so she teaches everything. But so she was doing her field work on the island of Corsica. We were living in this really tiny village, and we spent a year there. And I wrote a lot of the songs for the record, Some Kind of Cure, while living there. And most of those songs came out of these experiences living abroad in a little village, being a new father. When I perform, I tend to talk a lot. And so when I came back from Corsica, I was telling these stories of how these songs came about, and then playing the songs. And I really liked that combination of having an audience get to hear and feel where a song arose from. And so I thought maybe I would try to write the stories down. So the book comes with a download code, and the concept is that you would try to recreate that experience that was happening at my live shows just with the book. So you would read the story and then listen to the song, and it pulls the veil back a little bit on the process.
Yeah, and the book has a great title, 140 Goats and a Guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you would read just a little bit from one of those essays and then play the song. You can't really read the whole essay because we don't have time for that, but
yeah,
it would give an idea of just what your experience was like that prompted some of these songs.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read a story called Death in the Village. I'll read just an excerpt, and it'll set up this song called Marie. Let me just make sure that I'm relatively in tune to play it. And I guess the truth of it was that while we were living in this beautiful place, it was hard because the people that lived there didn't really take too kindly to strangers, and so we had kind of a battle for many months, sort of just trying to fit in and get accepted and get welcomed. And it wasn't until this woman passed away in our village that we started to feel like we belonged. And so this sort of explains that. And I'll just read the beginning of it, and then we'll try to play the song.
Okay, great.
Death in a Village. In August, a woman in our village died. We had never met her. She was sick and housebound when we arrived, and she was transferred to a hospital shortly thereafter. We learned the news early one morning when a neighbor knocked on our door and told us in a hushed voice. She was only 44 at the time, and her daughter had given birth to a baby girl just days earlier. Outlived by two generations, younger and older, the woman left behind a mother, a grandmother, a daughter, and now a granddaughter, all of whom still lived in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is the name of our village. She had a husband, too, a silver-haired cattle owner who didn't talk or smile a lot. Though not as precariously perched as some of the Corsican hilltop hamlets, Sri Lanka is still far from being on flat ground. Its physical position is a metaphor of sorts for its lack of stability and durability. While Sri Lanka can trace its existence back over 1,000 years, and most of the families there can trace their lineage that far as well, in many ways, life there feels very fragile. The village, it seems, is fighting hard to hang on and survive. Certain people are like the pillars of the place. If they die or move away, I'm not sure the community will hold. As the old far outnumber the young, it's hard to imagine how the community will survive, even if everyone there remains. We came to see the precarious positioning of Sri Lanka as a sort of glue. People need each other. It's not the same village of old before the road came, when they had to produce their own food, educate their own children, entertain themselves, and where leaving meant a long and rough donkey ride. But there is still great mutual social dependence among villagers. The elders are revered. The young are the hope for the future. Every person brings a skill to the collective. It's, of course, a tragedy when anyone dies young, and it's a tragedy when anyone dies in a village of only 40 people. But when someone dies young and in such a small village, it's a double tragedy. Virtually everyone in a Corsican village is also somehow related, if not directly, then through marriage. Everyone seems to be at least a distant cousin. So when this woman passed, it seemed as if the entire town lost a member of its family. The fragility of our little village made that loss all the harder to bear. So here's the song,
okay.
Marie.
A wounded town where the winds won't blow, the rains won't fall, and the clouds won't go. Well, there's a lonely girl and her dress is torn. A baby knows when her mother mourns.
Hang on, can we do this again? My guitar still isn't in tune. I'm sorry.
Sure, no problem.
Well,
while you're tuning, I'll just let our listeners know that you can check out David's music and his story at his website. It's davidberkeley.com. Berkeley like the city, B-E-R-K-E-L-E-Y. And he's going to be performing tomorrow night, Saturday, at 8 p.m. at High Mayhem, which is on Siler Lane, just off Siler Road, down there on the west side.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I figure if it's so worth it to give you a song
in
that's
tune?
Actually in tune.
I love that.
All right.
A wounded town where the winds won't blow, the rains won't fall, and the clouds won't go. There's a fallen man, here's a minor tune. There's an empty bed, and there's an empty room. With the shutters closed, and the fire low, the rains won't fall, still the clouds won't go. There's a lonely girl and her dress is torn. Yeah, baby knows when her mother mourns. Oh, Marie, it's not like me to fall apart. Marie, it's not like me. Yeah, wounded town and the hill below, the rains won't fall and the stars won't glow. When a village turns into woes and woes, and a father's hands can't patch these holes. Oh, Marie, it's not like me to fall apart. Oh, Marie, it's not like me. Near the old church roof, caved in long ago, but its bell still rings so sad and slow. 'Cause when a body burns into smoke and soul, and the father's hands can't patch these holes. No, a father's hands can't patch these holes. Oh, Marie, that's not like me to fall apart. Oh, Mari, it's not like, oh, Mari, it's not like me to fall apart. Oh, Mari, it's not like, oh, Mari, it's not like, oh, 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 Mari, it's not like me.
That was David Berkley playing live here in the KSFR studio from his album Some Kind of Cure. Really nice. Thanks so much. And I love that you had to retune your guitar in the beginning because, you know, that's what live music is all about. It was so authentic. And it's not like there's some roadie bringing you guitars, you know.
Yeah, well, it was going to be in my head the whole song, so I figured.
Right. And it'd be on that podcast on the website and in perpetuity. And you wouldn't be too happy about that. Anyway, so tell me about the new album you've got in the works and what that's going to be like.
So with Goats, with the book that I just read a little from, you know, it's a memoir, and so it's very personal stories, and my songs are already pretty personal, and I guess after doing a lot of concerts and readings at concerts and book tours, I felt a little overexposed, and I really love the concept of combining words and music, but I wanted to try my hand at something that wasn't just about me and my life, and so I've created a fictional world, and it's basically a novella told through 10 stories that weave together. And each one is kind of a character sketch of a somewhat lonely, slightly off character, many of whom find beauty in sort of surprising places that most of us might not find beauty in. And it becomes that appreciation for beauty that connect some of these characters and offer some hope. And so each story is written in the third person, and then I've written a first-person song for each of the stories. So ultimately, when I'm done, you'll get a book and a record, and the songs kind of give more emotional and personal voice to these characters. So that's the idea.
It sounds great. So to what degree are the characters or is the idea of this lonely oddball sort of person who finds beauty in unexpected places autobiographical?
Well, I think that I do find beauty in strange places. I don't think that I'm a social misfit. I think I'm pretty well adjusted. But I do find that I'm drawn to people who aren't, and I feel a lot of compassion for people who aren't. And I think a lot of my songs come from an awareness of sorrow, and even if it's not mine personally, and you know, this the concept of loneliness and of isolation, even when with people that we love and are loved by, is something that I think spawns a lot of my music. So it's something that I'm aware of and I identify with, even if I don't personally hold that baggage all the time.
Yeah. Could you envision just writing a memoir or a novel and not having it connected to music? Or is music so primary for you that it would always have to be part of it?
No, I would love to try to do something with that. I mean, in some ways, music is a crutch. I think that, you know, in writing this new project, knowing that I could give the reader then a song is like this gift that I get to use. But I would love to try to write something without. But I do feel like... you know, music is one of, if not my first love, and it's something that I think I do better than just write. And so, you know, I've thought about writing kids' books for a while, and it would seem strange for me not to write a song that would go along with one of them because the kids would like that. So, you know, why not? This book, with the Goats one, they really are companion pieces. I would be surprised if someone wanted to read it without hearing the songs. With the novella I'm working on, I hope it stands alone. I hope you don't actually need to hear the music. But I hope that when you do hear the music, you're a whole other element of the world opens up, and you know, so the power is that much greater.
I don't know how many people you had review your book, just the book on its own merits, but I would tell you that the book is very wonderful to read, whether or not you listen to the music, because I was fighting with my CD player trying to get it to play the right song at the right time, and I was like, who cares? You know, I just listened to some, I read the essays, I played the songs, I liked it all. I wanted to ask you about that piece, Maria, that you just, Marie, that you just did. When you play a song like that, it was such a portrait of a moment in time in your life where you were impacted by this event outside of you, the death of this woman you didn't know. When you play that, again, now, I don't know how many years it's been since you were there, but what comes up for you? Do you still feel those emotions?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question because, you know, that's the interesting thing about performing music a lot is, you know, you obviously have written your songs in a particular moment in time that probably captures that. And then, you know, with that one, not every time does it bring back the emotions and the feeling of that village. Although probably the times where the performance is the most authentic and powerful, it does to a certain extent. You know, I think with a lot of my music, even if a song was written about a particular thing, the emotions expand beyond that, and I do that consciously as I'm writing because I want the song to appeal to people who either don't know what it's about or don't need to know what it's about. And so you maybe find a specific starting point and then find the universal thing behind that that made that moment powerful in the first place.
Right.
So I think I get into the bigger world of emotions, if not the specific.
Mm-hmm. It's a song about mourning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and grieving the loss of another human being. And you don't have to have been there to get that.
Right. And, yeah, and there's a line in the chorus about how, you know, it's not like me to fall apart. And, you know, and I think that's something that a lot of us who maybe try to be strong a lot of the time but can't always hold it together can relate to. And that sort of double feeling of grief when not only are you sad about something, but you're also almost embarrassed or something in your own inability to hold it together.
Right. Right. You know? We're supposed to be in control at all times.
Right.
Yeah, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
So you're doing a Kickstarter to get this going.
I am, yeah. So we're trying to raise $25,000 to pay for the recording and some of the release of the record, at least the record portion. We just launched it last week and it's doing pretty well. But we have all sorts of gifts for giving and I did this once before, actually, for the other book record project, and so I kind of had the whole gift list from then. So I've offered a number of things, like I write private songs for people sometimes,
uh-huh.
and I'll do private serenades for people. And if you get on it quickly, you can come and visit the studio and have a tour of the studio while we're recording. There's a lot of good things you can get.
If you give at the highest level, do you get one of all the gifts?
Yes.
Oh,
In fact, I call that one the Medici, and you get everything.
So you've had success with the Kickstarter thing before.
The first time I did it, I didn't use Kickstarter. I just did it through my website.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, it worked, and it worked great. And I think that people who give are excited. First of all, they get a lot back for what they give, so it's not just purely giving, but also they're then invested and just, you know, want to watch and see how the project develops. And I, too, feel a little bit more beholden to them and maybe want to make a better project. And it's just a more exciting
thing.
Yeah,
there's a responsibility in that when somebody else is helping to finance your project.
For sure.
You really, there's a commitment there that just, you know, no matter how committed we are to our art, it's a little extra when you know there are people just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking with David Berkeley, singer-songwriter from Santa Fe, lives here now anyway. He's going to perform tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at High Mayhem on Siler Lane off of Siler Road. There are student discount tickets available. It's BYOB. Should be a fun party. Mm-hmm. And you can see more, hear more of David on his website, davidberkeley.com. And you can actually hear some music and go to his Kickstarter campaign from his own website.
You got it.
So, David, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you,
Hollis. This has been great. And we're going to take a break now. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe.